Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, welcome back to Pesachim Daf Mem. We are at the last line of Lama Tesman Beis, last few words, Amar of Yosef. A person should not scold. We learned earlier that if a person pours hot water on grain, it prevents it. The extreme heat actually prevents the chametz process from initiating. Therefore, says Rav Yosef, when he engages in this type of activity, chalita, scolding, just make sure. Loilichlet inish, a person should refrain from being chaylet. Trechiti be'adadadi, two kernels of wheat next to each other. Why? Dilma adlachada, perhaps one of the kernels will go ahead, v'yasva, will embed itself, will position itself, b'tziraya dechaverta, the crack of the other one. So it's going to position itself inside the crack of the other one. And as a result, the rush of water, the boiling water will not reach on all four sides of the grain because they're blocking each other at that point. And can come to chimitz. So we have grain which are now moist, but there's no rush, there's no boil all around it. And it's that boiling effect that prevents the chimitz. Therefore, he says, refrain from doing two kernels together. Varabai, loilichrech inish, a person should not scorch with fire. Trei shiboili badadadi, two stalks of wheat, one with the other. Why? The concern is dilma nafki mayamahai. Perhaps some moisture will come out of one, as a result of the heat of the fire. It's going to force some moisture out of one stalk, ubal idach, and the other one will absorb that moisture, and this can result in becoming chametz. Va'asil de chimetz can come to chimetz. Amalei Rava, yachi. If you have that concern, then why only when there are two stalks? Afilu chadanami, even with one single stalk of wheat, you still have the same concern. There are many kernels on that stalk. Dilma nafik mehai resha. Perhaps some moisture will emerge from one head of the stalk, from some kernels on that side. Ubal ilich resha. And the other side will absorb it. Ela marava, there's no concern. May peris ninu. We're speaking about moisture coming out of produce, out of peris. Umei peris einan machmitzen. This type of moisture does not make chametz. V'hadar be'abaye mehai. And actually, Abaye did revert. He backtracked from what he said earlier, that we're not meant to be chayrech, scorched two stalks next to each other, but not because he holds like Rava that may perish, don't pose a concern. Rather, because he held the kol agav midlayu, because any moisture which is on the move, in transit, such as over here where the moisture is dripping out and running down, doesn't create chibetz because it's not stationary, it doesn't get absorbed, it's just flowing and dripping right by. Therefore, there's no concern with scorching those two stalks. He holds may peris, can be machmitz, but not when it's flowing in transit and not being absorbed. Damar Abaye, as we find that Abaye said, chai chatzva de avishna. You have this chatzva, this container, in which you would roast grain. Schifa shari, if it's overturned, then it's okay because the moisture exuding from the grain due to the heat will just roll away, drip away, and will not be absorbed back into the stalks. Zekifa asr. However, if the kli is upright, then it's asr because the moisture, which is going to be extracted from the grain as a result of the heat, remains in place and will become reabsorbed in the grain, which will make it asr. So we see that something which is on the move, in transit, poses no concern. Rav Amar, afilu skifa nami shari. Even if the kli is upright, there's no concern. May peris ninu. We're speaking about juice coming from produce, from wheat, from barley. Umei peris inan machmitzen. This type of juice does not make chametz. So regarding may peris, Rav says there's no concern. Abaye says there is. All agree. If the moisture is merely running by, in transit, will not be absorbed, and does not pose a chametz concern. Tanu Rabbanan. Ein loisin t'sorin mepesach. So prior to grinding their grain, they would soak it, lightly soak it, which was called lisisa. And the point was to loosen up the grain and make it more suitable for grinding. It would separate, it would allow easy separation of the various skins in the grains, the chaff, the bran, the wheat germ. So they would take this soaked grain and they would actually grind it up, they would actually chop it up somewhat, because it smash it, and then they would take it, after they separated the various skins, they would take the pure grain, free of all these impurities, and bring it to the grinder, to the mill, and this would result in high quality refined flour. So this was the lesisa process. They would take the wheat or the barley and first soak it in water, loosen it up, and then they would go ahead and crush it a bit to remove these skins, and then take it to the mill. Can you do that on Pesach? Ein loisisin, se'irin v'pesach. You can't do lesisa, you can't soak the grains, the se'irin grain, the barley, on Pesach, v'im lasas. If he did soak them, nizbaku asuris. If he sees that they've become bloated and they're split, that indicates that it's on its way. The chametz process has begun, and asuris, he can no longer eat them, because they're about to become chametz. Loin nizbaku, however, if they haven't yet split, mutaris, then there's no concern. Rabbi Yossi Omer, shoyer b'chametz, he has a chiddush. Even if he sees the barley is bloated and has begun to split, just quickly take it and soak it in vinegar. The acidic effect of the vinegar will stunt the chametz process. V'chametz tsoimson. And this vinegar will actually harden the shoyer and prevent the chametz process from taking place. Amar Shmuel ein halacha Rabbi Yosi, the halacha doesn't follow Rabbi Yosi. We can't rely on this concept. Chametz, vinegar, doesn't have the ability to stop the chametz process. Amar Rav Chizda, Amar Marukva, lo nisbaku mamish. We said that the grains which were soaked and are now bloated and split, that poses a concern. Says Marukva, even prior to splitting, if it's on its way to splitting, if it's susceptible to being split, that's also an indication that it's on its way to becoming chametz. Ela kol she'ilu manichan api chametz. The formula is like this. If you take this soft, soaked grain and put it on a chavis, a barrel of wine, and due to the smell, the sharp scent of that wine, it would go ahead and split those grain. Venus bakos melein, they would become split. That also is already too far gone, and you can't eat the se'ir any longer. The grain has to actually split in order to exhibit signs that it's on its way to chametz. But if it's not yet at that point, even if you put on a barrel and then it would split, that's not considered to be a concern. In fact, Shmuel did halacha l'maisa. Bedura in this town, the Bebar Choshu, that belonged to this fellow Bar Choshu, and there was some grain which was soaked, but not yet come to the point of being split. But it was already soft enough that it was susceptible to being split. Had it been placed on top of the barrel, he was matur, nizbaku mamash, because he maintains that only if you actually see, if it exhibits signs of bikua, it's already been split, then we have a concern. Up until that point, it's okay. Let's take a look perhaps at Rashi here. So if we just back up from where we're holding right now, back up around six lines in Rashi. Rashi begins with the word nizbaku. Have it? Nizbaku? Machmas anepuch. So if the kernels have split on account of them being bloated, shemachmas amayim, due to the water absorbed within, asuris, why the asur? The vadim emaris lachmas, it's certainly on the way, they're about to become chametz. Rabbi Yossi says, shoyer b'chametz, soak it in vinegar. Imroya oisan shenoifchais, if he sees them bloating, shoyer b'chametz, just soak them in vinegar, b'chametz, soimson, shenayim b'laz, ve'eina manichan lachmas, the vinegar will prevent the chametz process. Now, Marukva says that even if it hadn't yet split, there's still a concern if it wouldn't withstand the sharp smell of wine. It can't withstand the scent of the wine. Shmuel disagrees. In fact, he did. In this town, the only time it's asur, if there's an actual split in the grain. And those kernels were not yet split, and therefore he was matir. So at this point we learned about soaking barley. The Braisa says we're not meant to do so. If he did it and it got bloated to the point that it split, it's asur. If it's almost split, Marukva says it's still asur, Shmuel says it's mutar. Rabbeisi says there's a solution. Take the split kernels, toss it into vinegar, which will stunt the chimus process. Amar Rabba, Baal nefesh, if a person is concerned about his nefesh, he wants to be machmer, lo yiltais, he should not soak his grain. Ma'iri baal nefesh, why is this specific to a person who's machmer? Afil kuli alma nami, even an ordinary person, nami, should not go ahead and soak his grain. Does sanya, we learned in a brayse, ein loisus in sorin mepesach. Hachikomar, this is what Rabbi meant to say. Yeah, the brayse is speaking about barley, which are more susceptible to chimutz. Bal nefesh, however, a person who's going to be machmer, afilu chitin de shriri, even when it comes to wheat, which are more tough and harder than barley, lo yiltis, he shouldn't soak them. So al pi halacha, soirin cannot be soaked. When it comes to chitin, standard halacha allows, but a bal nefesh should be machmer. Omar lir of Nachman, so Nachman exclaimed, he says, no, man tzayis leilab. Whoever listens, man the tzayis, leila abba, whoever listens to Rabba, he called him Abba, as she says, Lashon Rabbonus. Whoever's going to listen to this instruction, that you don't soak your wheat, you know what's going to happen? Och, na'ama de ipusha. He's going to eat unclean bread, full of all those impurities. There's no concern with soaking wheat. I'll bring you a raya. Doha be'rav, huna latasi. In the home of Rav Huna, they would soak their wheat. Everybody soaked the wheat. So he disagreed with Rabba's chumrah. There's no reason to be machmer. The Rav Amar also lilteis. He holds, not only is it bal nefesh meant to be machmer, but an ordinary person is not even allowed to. It's an iser to soak the grains. And he speaks even bal chitim. Says, well, how does that work? But haven't we learned in the Braise? We may not soak barley. Barley you can't. Apparently chit is okay. So why does Rabba say it's awesome? The Braise was referring to chitin as well. But needless to say, needless to speak about chitin, given the isbeit siraya, since the chita, wheat kernel has this crack, has these cracks, as we discussed earlier with those two kernels, Rabbeisi's two kernels. So a wheat kernel has a crack, has cracks in it. Ailubumaya. So due to the cracks that are present in the surface of the chita, so yeah, water can penetrate. And certainly you may not soak them because they're going to absorb that water and become chametz. So of course chitim are not meant to be soaked. Aval sari deshi, the chiddushes, even barley, which are more smooth, have a smoother surface than chitim, don't have those cracks. Ema shaper dummy, perhaps it's okay to soak them. Kamash malon. The Braisa tells us, no, you can't. So according to this, Seirim is a greater chiddush. They have a smoother surface. Perhaps it's okay to get soaked. The Braisa says it can't. But certainly chitim, which have those cracks, which allow water to penetrate, you're not meant to soak them. And it's an issa to soak. Hodam a Rava. Rava backtracked. He said, Mutalilsais. It's okay. You're allowed to soak your chitin. Avarai, the sanya. Yoitzin repasin the key of Adro. Raisa says, if a person eats matzah on Pesach, he could be yoitzin. Whether we're speaking about matzah, which is clean, high quality, purified flour, without those impurities of the skins, etc. Vehadro. And it can be yetzim matzah if it's whole grain as well. That's the brice. The efshan nekiya b'leil sisa, you can't have pure flour, high quality, high grade flour, without first soaking it. If the brice allows you to eat matzah, which is clean from all these impurities, apparently lisisa says okay. Says the Gemara, Eisvei Rav Papa l'Rava. So Rav Papa asked Rav Akash, you're proving that apparently this matzah, which is made from pure wheat flour, in the case that it was first soaked. You can't have pure flour without soaking. There's a brayso which is like this. Ha k'machen v'aslosos. So k'machen is ordinary flour, whole grain flour. V'aslosos are the pure flours without these impurities. So the k'machen and the slosos shall nachram from goyim, shall k'farim tarim. If they're from the village, they're tar because Rashi says they're not particular about having their flour cleaned up and their grains soaked. So we assume no water has come into contact with their grain, and it was not hukshul kabel tumah. Only something which is wet can become tumah. So these are considered to be tar. They shall krach and tumah. However, the ones coming from the towns, from the cities, they're tumah because they're more particular. They soak, they separate the chaff, the bran, and since it came into contact with water, it can be kabel tumah and it's presumed to be tar. The kfar my time. Why the ones coming from the village considered to be tar? Lav mishum de lasasi. Apparently because they don't soak. Vika kari le soilus. And the brayso clearly refers to it as soilus. So apparently soilus, which is high quality pure flour, does not need soaking. So apparently there's no connection, there's no relation necessarily between pure flour and the soaking process. So therefore he's refuting the raya of Rava. Rava says, I'm proving to you that you can do lasisa because the brayso says you can be yotze with high quality flour used for the matzah. You can't have high quality flour without lasisa. You have a brayso which discusses soilless, pure flour, without soaking. That's why it's tar. Tirgumu akimcha, says the Gemara, when the brayso discusses unwet, unsoaked, and tar flour, the ones from the kfar, it's not in reference to the slosais, the purified flour. We're speaking about the k'machen. So k'machen are a whole grain, and they're presumed to be free of tumah because they never come into contact with water, because you can make whole grain without soaking. So when the brayso says that the kfarim is tar, that's in reference to the k'machen. When the brayso speaks about the supply coming from the cities, which are tumah, that's a reference to the slosais, which were soaked. Okay, so this was the back and forth between Rava and Rav Papa. Basa denafik, after Rava left the Beis Medrash, Omar, Rav Papa berated himself. He says, "Oh, my time aloy emelay miha. Why didn't I bring him a raya from the following halacha? I could have proved him clearly that you can have high quality flour without soaking." The Omar Abizera, Omar Abiyamir, Omar Shmo, Chit and Shomanachis. The wheat used for the menachis ain loisis and oisam. They wouldn't even soak them for concern about chimutz, mincha is not meant to be chametz. So they wouldn't soak it. Nevertheless, we find in the Torah many times over referencing a mincha flour with the word soilus. Apparently, you can make soilus without soaking. So this would have been a good raya against Rava. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Hada amar Rava. So now Rava took it a step further. Initially, he said it was asur to be loisis the chitin, then he said it was mutter, and now he took it a step further. Not only is it mutter, but it's actually a mitzvah. Mitzvah loisis. It's a mitzvah to go ahead and soak the grain, the chitim, which you're going to use for your matzah. Shenemar, ushmarat mitzvah matzahis. You're meant to safeguard the matzahis from chimutz. Now, iloi deboi lesisa, if the kernels of wheat don't need to be soaked, Shimur l'mai. What's the point of watching? You're watching it from becoming chametz. You're securing it, safeguarding it from chibetz. It's not going to be soaked. Then what are you watching it from? Is shimur delisha? Is it a reference to shimur from the time of kneading, after the water was actually introduced? If that's what the pasuk was referring to, shimur delisha lav shimuru. Apparently, shimur from that point onward is not sufficient. You need to have Shemira before that. Evidently, there was water going to be introduced here. Apparently, you have to soak the wheat. How do we know that the Shemira from the point in time of Lisha is not sufficient to fulfill the mitzvah of B'shmarta Mesamatzis? Domar v'huna. V'tzeikl shel nacham. These doughs of goyim, which didn't exhibit signs of chimetz, so you know that it's not chametz. Adam m'malik reisimhen. One can fill himself with it. We're speaking about Pesach at night. Provided that he eats a kazayis of true matzah, valid matzah, matzah which was produced by Yisrael, b'achroina, that should be his last portion. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi here is at the first wide line, Amar Rav Huna Gar Sinan, but Seika Shel Nachar. Shemarker ben Shlo Yechmitzu. He sees this dough from the guy, he knows that it's not chametz. It doesn't have these signs of chimutz. Shein Shem Loich Kane Chagovim, Loich Siv Uponov, doesn't have these cracks, it's not pale. To have a Simon Siddiq, a Simon Sirik, the one later will give us these signs. So he sees it's not chametz. He can eat it because it's not chametz, but it's not matzah. You need to have something positive. It's not enough that it's not chametz. It needs to have that positive element in order for it to be suitable for the matzah of mitzvah. So you can eat it, but sheyechal kazayis matzah b'achreinu. He needs to eat a kazayis of proper matzah, which was shomer, matzah shmur. That should be the last portion. The b'hal lo nafik yidei chavis matzah. Because he wasn't yoytzi matzah using the produce of the goy. Mishum de lo yehavi lo shimur l'shem matzah. Because it didn't have shimur for the sake of matzah. Even though we see clearly there's no chimutz here. Umi l'matzah shel mitzvah shimer l'shma b'inan. Says Rashi, in order for it to be kosher for matzah's mitzvah, it needs to be shomer, watched l'shma, for the sake of the matzah's mitzvah. Like they say in the bakery, the shei matzah's mitzvah. So you can have something which is not chametz, but not matzah. Not matzah's mitzvah at least. So he needs to eat a proper matzah b'achroina. Why dafka at the end? Says Rashi, he mitzvah sachilosa shema pesach, he chayv sachilosa. The proper way of eating the matzah, l'shem mitzvah, is at the end of your meal, which is really meant to be together with the karm pesach, which is meant to be at the end of the meal. Siv kroa matzah z'morim yechlu. So together with the pesach, you eat the matzah in the morah. And pesach, nechal al soiva, it's meant to be eaten. Al soiva, not when a person is overly hungry and anxious. It's meant to be eaten towards the end of the meal. So Pesach is meant to be the last in the meal. Okay, so we have the non-chametz, but it's non-matzah. It doesn't have the shimur l'shem matzah. Says the Gemara, b'achroina in, b'rishoina loy. So he can be yotze his mitzvah of achilas matzah by eating proper matzah, matzah which is properly washed. If he does that at the end of his meal, it can be yaitzu with that. V'achroina in, with his last portion. V'rishoina loy, but he can't be yaitzu with the initial matzah that he ate. The betzega shel nochem, which he ate up until that point. Why not? My time. Mishum d'alei avad b'hu shimur, because he didn't do shimur. He got it from the guy when it was ready in its dough form. So what? V'lahavad lu'it le shimur ma'fi v'eilach. Why can't he do shimur from this point onward? When he begins to prepare it for baking, etc. El olav shma mina, this is a raya, shimur mikarabina. That just doing shimur from this point onward is not sufficient. You need to do shmira all the way back from the time when it was still grain. And this is Rava's raya. Why are you doing shmira? There's no water being introduced, apparently. You're going to soak it. You meant to soak your grain. And that's why you need shmira. Says the Gemara. You have a raya that shimur mikar b'inam? How do you know? Mimai, umimai, dilma shani hasam. Perhaps you don't need to do shmira from the point of grain onward. Perhaps shmira from the point where you introduce the actual water to the flour, that's sufficient. And here, you didn't even have that. That's why it's not matzah shmura. Umimai, dilma shani hasam. There it's different, the b'inam, the nachas, the shimur. Because from the time that it needed shimur, when he introduced that water to the flour, lo yavad l'shimur, he didn't do shimur, he wasn't around. He purchased the dough from the guy. So that's why it's not suitable for matzah's mitzvah. Aval eichad b'idna, the nachas l'shimur. But in a case where, at the moment where it required shimur, i.e., when he introduced that water to the flour, aval l'shimur, he would have done shimur. Hachinami de shimur de lisha v'shimur. Perhaps shimur at the time of lisha is enough. How do you know that you need to have shimur from the point of grain, of dry grain, from the initiation of the process, which indicates that it has to be soaked. That's why you have to wash it from the chametz. How do you know? Says the Gemara, even so, Rava wasn't fazed. Rava didn't retract. And he held his ground. held that you do shimur from the time of harvesting, and you're meant to soak it, and the shimur is meant to initiate from that point onward. The amrulu lahanu the mahapchi kipi. Rav instructed those who would tie the bundles of grain. Kimapchisu, when you do that, hapichu l'shem mitzvah. You should do l'shem mitzvah. Alma Kasav apparently holds shimur miikara mitchilosai v'atzeif abina. You need to have shimur all the way back from the initiation of the process, from when you begin handling this grain, from the point of tzira all the way to the end. Concludes the Gemara. In fact, Mar b'reid Ravina, Mar the son of Ravina, man katale imei ba'arbi. His mother, when she collected the grain for Pesach, she would gather the grain into the arbi, into these bowls, safeguard them, secure them. She began her shimur from the point of harvesting, mishas k'tzira, in line with Rav Shita, that shimur begins all the way back at the time of harvesting. So in summary, we learned about soaking grain, lasisa, Brisa says, so'irin can't be soaked. When it comes to chitin, Rabbi said, well, it's a chumra, bal nefesh yachmer. And Rabbi concluded it's actually a mitzvah to soak. Now, what happens if you've noticed some signs of chimutz? The grain became bloated and split, is baku. All agree it's asr. If it's loinus baku mamish, but it's on its way to becoming split, then we have a machlekes. Now, what happens after you see the kernel has split? Rabbi Yossi says, you still have an eitzah. Just soak it in vinegar, which will stop the chimutz process. And Shmuel says, ein halach, Rabbi Yossi, you can't do it. Continues the Gemara, how arba dechiti. It was this boat full of wheat, the tava, which sunk bechishta, in this river called chishta. So it now absorbed water. It became chametz, but this chametz is not really visible. It's not really noticeable. You don't really see that it's chametz. Shar yeravel izvuni lenachem. Rav allowed this grain to be sold to goyim. Eisvei rabba barli voile rav. He asked the makash. We learned in a brisa, begad she'ova bekelayim. If a thread of kelayim or shatnes got lost in a begad. So we know there's kelayim, this garment, but we can't really see it. It's not discernible. Harez loyim kerenu lenachem. He shouldn't sell it to a goy, because the goy might turn around and sell it to a yid, who might unwittingly wear it. Nor should he use it as a cloth saddle for his donkey, because Rashi says he might actually transfer some of it to his beged, which indicates that if it would be used merely as a mardas, it would be okay, because you can sit on the kalayim, it's not soft, it's not going to pose any concern if it's on the chamar. But he might go ahead and use it as a patch for his beged, so don't use it for this purpose. But he can use it for the mace, as tachrichan, as shrouds for the mace. Because as Rashi explains, nobody's going to take from the mace, it's asur b'hano, and the mace himself is free from all these obligations, he can wear kelayim. So that's the price. Lenachri, my time and loy. But why can't he sell it to a nachri? Lav mishum isn't the reason because the hadam adam l'Yisrael, because the goy might turn around and mazmin l'Yisrael and sell it to a Yisrael, who might not realize that it's kelayim. Here as well, the wheat which sunk in the river is not clearly discernible. It's not clear that it's chametz. So how can you sell to a guy who might turn around and sell to Yisrael, who might consume it on Pesach? Hadam HaRabba. So Rabba backtracked and he said, you're right. Lizvinu kaba kaba Yisrael. It should be sold a portion at a time, meaning a kaf to this yid, a kaf to the other Yisrael. Kehecha dekali kame pischa. So that we can ensure that it's going to be completed and consumed before Pesach. Tana Rabbanan. Ein moilin in esa kadeiro Pesach. The person wants to add some flour to his kadeiro, to his pot, to the dish therein. He can't do that on Pesach. I'm concerned about chametz. Varoitze shimlo, if he wants to add some flour, this is what he meant to do. Noisin esa kemach. First place the flour. Va'achakach noisin esa chametz. Then add some vinegar. So the vinegar will boost the heat within this cooking dish. And in tandem, the heat with the acidity of the vinegar will prevent the chimutz process from developing. V'yesh oimrim, some say, af noisin es ha-chimutz, v'achach noisin es ha-kemach. You could even do it in the reverse. First place some vinegar into this dish. Even though it's going to get slightly diluted, it's okay. first place the vinegar and then add the flour. So once again, the vinegar will prevent the chimutz process from taking place. Let's take a look at Rashi, right off to the left. Moilulan says Rashi bekemach, when you add some flour to thicken your dish, that's called melila. Kara melila k'shenes and kemach l'tavsh. So according to the first shita, first place the flour and then the vinegar. V'achach meisen said the chimutz, explains Rashi, the ein ha-chimutz manichay l'achmetz. The chimutz doesn't allow it to become chametz. Because it cooks. So the combination, the heat and the acidity will prevent the chimitz. You could even do it in the reverse. First the chimitz into the dish and then add the flour. Even though it's already mixed, the vinegar is already diluted. It will go ahead and create this cooking effect onto anything that's added afterwards. Says the Gemara. Who is the shita that even when the chametz is already sitting in a tafshal, this cooked food, and already slightly diluted, it still has that acidic effect and cooking effect? Omer Rav Chizda, Rabbi Yehudi. It's Rabbi Yehuda. It's not ilfas vakadera. Types of pots. Shevira murusachem, which he removed boiling off the flame. Lo yitein l'soichan tam. It's not Shabbos, of course. You can't add seasoning. It's a kli rishon, it's coming off the flame. It is mavash. Aval noisin l'secha kara, l'secha tamchoy, but it could add seasoning into a kli sheni. So when he pours from that initial pot into a kara, a bowl, or a tamchoy, large plate, now it's already a kli sheni. A kli sheni doesn't have the ability to be mavash, it can add some seasoning. Rabbi Eimer, l'akoyl hu noisin. Yeah, you're right, he can add seasoning to any klisheni, which has boiling food, chutz, except midavar sheyesh bo chametz v'tzir. This dish has some vinegar or fish brine. Due to the acidity, it boosts the heat effect, and you can't even eat seasoning, even if it's a klisheni, because it's going to be mavash. So we see that chametz, even if it's already inside this dish, still retains its acidic properties, and will be mavash. V'nukim karbiyasi. Why can't we attribute this shita that the chaymetz is so powerful? Why can't you attribute to Rabbi Yossi? This is not Rabbi Yossi, I'm sharing the chaymetz. This is Rabbi Yossi that we learned earlier. If we see the grain has begun to exhibit signs of chaymetz process, we see it's split. Rabbi Yossi says, look, easy solution, just put it into chaymetz, into vinegar, which will stop the process. The chaymetz, Simpson, and the vinegar will harden it. So perhaps this yesh aymerim, which attributes great power to chaymetz, is Rabbi Yossi. Ki ashmin Rabbi Yossi. When do we see that Rabbi Yossi maintains that chaymetz is powerful? When it's intact. He says, immerse the splitting grain into the chaymetz. We're speaking about pure chaymetz. Aval de tarevus loy, but when it's already mixed in with something else, we don't see necessarily Rabbi Yossi would hold that it maintains its property. And therefore, we didn't connect the shita to Rabbi Yossi. Rather, we found another man, the Amo, which is Rabbi Yudim Sechel Shabbos. Ula Amar Echad Zeh Echad Zeh Asr. Whether adding the flour and then the vinegar, or the vinegar and then the flour, either way it's asr. Why? We're concerned that you might confuse things. Mishum Leich Leich Amrina Nazira. We tell the Nazir, who's not meant to drink wine, eat grapes, get away! Scher Scher Lekarma, around the vineyard, Leich Sikra, don't even get close. Keep far away, don't take chances. If it says Ula, don't take chances here as well. Now I'm going to add flour to the cooking dish, even if you're going to add the vinegar, whether before the flour or after, because if we allow the chaymetz to be added afterwards, which seems to be okay, but it might lead him to do it beforehand, which is problematic. Rapapi shori le liburdiki de Beresh Galusa. Rapapi allowed the cook in the home of the Beresh Galusa lemimcha kedera bechasis. So he allowed the fellows, the cooks in the Reish Galusa's home, to thicken their kedera, their pot, whatever's cooking there, bechasisi, using flour of roasted grains. Since it's already roasted, there's no concern of the flour becoming chametz, so you can put it even to a liquid dish. Amar Rav, how can you do that? Ika de shari ki haimilsa. Is there anybody that will allow such a thing? Beduchta de shrichi avdi, in a place where servants, avodim, are found. As Rashi says, the avodim amezalzel. They're lax in their observance of mitzvahs and halachos. If you allow them to use the roasted flour, perhaps next time they'll use ordinary flour, which can come with chimus. Ikad amri, there's another version. Rav Gufa, Rav himself, machilo kidra b'chassisi. His own kidr, his own pot, he would thicken using this roasted flour, but would not allow, of course, would not allow the avodim, who are lax and mezalzel in Isra. Continues the Mishnah. And we know that when it comes to ordinary water, so you mix it with flour, it's going to make it chametz. Wait a shear meal, which is 18 minutes. It's presumed to be chametz. When it comes to other types of liquids, may peiros, we discussed earlier, according to Rava, there's no concern, according to Abaya, there's a concern. Now, all seem to agree that if you mix some water into the may peiros, it's going to expedite the process. So, rather than just taking 18 minutes, it's going to expedite the chametz process. It's going to become chametz quicker. The combined effect of the juice, the fruit juice with the water, it boosts the chametz process and intensifies the heat, etc. And it will come chametz very quickly. So Mishnah Zahari is going to discuss a case where you have a dish, you have a dip, whatever, that has some water in it. And it also has may peiros, but not your standard fruit juice, a more acidic form of fruit juice, like vinegar, or has this crushed mustard, which is also acidic and sharp. The question here is, do we treat this like an ordinary mixture of may peiros with water, which actually expedite the process, create an even greater concern than just water itself? Or shall we say, perhaps since we're dealing with something which is sharp and acidic, for instance vinegar, it doesn't enhance the ability, it doesn't grant power to the water and expedite the system. Rather, it remains neutral, perhaps it's as though there wouldn't be any main pairs here. It doesn't help, but it doesn't harm anything. So this is going to be a machleket between Chananakama and Reb Meir. One cannot add flour to charoses, crushed fruit, which has some vinegar in it, or into mustard. If he added this flour, eat it right away, so before it becomes chametz. So according to this shita, Tanakama, the Chachamim, it's not presumed to be chametz immediately, because this is different. Although there's some water there, plus some other juice, like vinegar, this vinegar won't necessarily expedite the chametz process because it's sharp. And something which is sharp, it's actually more difficult for it to become chametz. As we saw earlier, the chametz actually can prevent the chametz from taking place. For Reb Meir Oyser, he says, no, you can't eat it. You have to go and burn this chareis, this chardal, which has flour. According to him, despite the fact that the fruit juice in there, the vinegar, the may peiros, or the chardal juice is something which has acid and sharp, nevertheless, it's no different than other may peiros, and we know that when there's a combination of may peiros with mayim, we're concerned that the chimus took place very quickly. Continues the mission with another halach. Eim avashnas ha-pesach. Or may not cook the carbon pesach. Carbon pesach is meant to be roasted, barbecued. You can't use lebe mashkin, whether liquids, lebe peiros, or fruit juices. Aval sochinu matbilin oiseben. But you can go ahead and smear it during the roasting process. You can dip the carbon pesach while you're eating it. That's okay. You can smear it using fruit juice during the roasting process. And when you're done roasting, you can dip it. B'sh'as ha'chilosi, says Rashi, as long as you don't actually cook it using these liquids. Meit ha'shmisha shel nachta, the water which the baker uses to rinse his hands when he handles the dough, yishchafchu, it should be spilled out immediately. B'nei she'machmitzen, because it can become chametz, because they're filled with dough residue. So we had a discussion in our Mishnah regarding flour, which was added to charoses, which has some vinegar in it. So you have some water in there, plus this vinegar, which is considered a non-water liquid, it may peris. Or you had some flour added to the chardal. Once again, it had some water in there, but the chardal, due to the fact that it's sharp and acidic. The question is, do we regard it like ordinary maperis? Which poses a grave concern. We're concerned that the maperis will actually expedite the chimutz process. According to Ramei, the answer is yes. According to Chachamim, no. Due to the fact that it's acidic and sharp, it won't expedite the process. Omer Rav Kahana, machlekes l'tzuch achardal. This is machlekes, meaning the Chacham allowed this thing to be eaten. That's only when he added the flour into the chardal. We have two cases in the Mishnah. He added to the chardal, the mustard, which is very sharp, or into the charesis, which is acidic due to the vinegar content, but it's not as sharp as mustard. Says Rav Kahana, you meant to know that the Chachamim only allowed, when it comes to mustard, due to its sharpness, the fact that it's very, very sharp. When it comes to adding flour into the charesis, which is not so acidic and sharp, all agree it has to be burnt immediately. Once again, because we had that lethal combination. We have maperis with water, which is presumed to become comets immediately. We have a right from a braisa. The Chacham agree when it comes to the charesis that it can't be eaten. You can't add flour into charesis. Vimnasa, you serve miyat. And to mustard, which is sharper. Rabbi Emery served miyat. He's concerned. He says the combined water with maperis creates that chametz combination. As long as you eat it right away, you're okay. Omar Rav Huna, Breda Rav Yehuda, Rav Nachman, Omar Shmo, Halocha, Kedirah Chachamim, that this mixture can be eaten. Omar Le Rav Nachman, Yitzchak, Rav Huna, Breda Rav Yehuda. See, yes, Rav Huna. You say Halacha Kedivrei Chachamim. You quoted Shmuel that we pass like the Chachamim. Which one of these two cases were you referring to? Acharosis Kamemar. Even on Acharosis, even there, do the Chachamim say you can eat it? Or Yachardel Kamemar. Or perhaps only on Chardel, due to the fact that it's very sharp. Amar Leis. So Rav Huna Bar Yehuda responded, Man of Kamina, why would you ask? Why would there be any difference between one and the other? He said, Well, the Rav Kahana, as Rav Kahana. Said, Dom Rav Kahana, there is a distinction. Machlekes l'tzuch achardal. The machlekes, meaning the Chacham allowed only when it comes to chardal. He placed the kemach in the chardal due to its increased sharpness. Avol l'tzuch achareses, the v'akol yaserf miyad. When it comes to adding flour to chareses, despite the fact that it has the acid, it's not as sharp as chardal. And according to all shittas, according to Chacham, we're concerned the fact that there's some water in there with maperis. Perhaps it turns into chametz immediately, and therefore has to be burnt. So if Kahana made that differentiation between chareis and chardal, what do you say about that? Shmuel passed like the chachamim. Did he mean to say that even allow chareis? Only chardal. Omer leis, Rav Huna Rav Yehuda responded, Lo Shmuel, I never heard that chiluk, leis freely, meaning I don't agree with it. Whether to chareis or chardal, chachamim in both cases, allow this mixture to be eaten. Omer Ravashi, Kavaseid Rav Kahana Mistavra. It actually seems that Rav Kahana's approach is more reasonable and rational. It makes more sense. Why? I have a right. Because here, who is he quoting? Rav Huna Bar Yehuda is quoting Rav Nachman in the name of who? Shmuel. Right? Now Shmuel himself doesn't seem to accord great power to vinegar. With Amar Shmuel, Shmuel earlier said, when it came to the kernels which exhibited signs of the chimutz process, it was split. Rav Yossi says, no problem, dunk them into vinegar. And Shmuel said, no, with Amar Shmuel, the fact that Shmuel said, Ein aloch Rav Yossi, vinegar doesn't have that power. You can't go and submerge the kernels into vinegar. My love, should we not assume, should we not deduce from that, chamutzi, tzimusi, the late summers. It can't harden, it can't stunt the growth, the process. So chametz doesn't have that ability. Apparently, it's treated like ordinary maperis. And when joined together with water, such as in the case of the charesis, that lethal combination will create chametz. So that's Shmuel Shita. Apparently, when Shmuel said, halacha, kedivrei chachamim, that this mixture can be eaten, it was only for the chardal, which is very sharp, but not to the charesis, which merely has that acidic ingredient, the vinegar, which isn't really that effective. Says Gemara, no, loy. Dilma, perhaps, loy mitzvah summis. You're right. Vinegar, according to Shmuel, doesn't have that tremendous power that it can go ahead and harden things and shrink it and stunt the chimutz. To that extent, it can't be effective. But v'loy chimo machama, but it's still not going to create chametz when presented together with water. Ordinary made pears mixed with water boosts the power of the chimutz, and there's a concern of immediate chametz. But when it comes to vinegar, that's not ordinary fruit juice. It has some acidic nature to it. And due to its acidic property, perhaps it won't adversely affect the water. Perhaps it has a neutral effect. Nor this way, nor that. It won't expedite the chimus process. And perhaps won't slow it down. But let's treat this mixture like an ordinary water mixture. In which case, you have some time to eat it. You have at least 18 minutes. Therefore, go ahead and eat it. So perhaps, yeah, Shmuel, who says halacha kedibur chachamim, was in reference to both cases. Flour added to mustard due to its sharpness, which will prevent the water from becoming chametz, and also to charoses due to the fact that it has some vinegar in it, and due to the acidic property of that vinegar, it won't expedite the chimus process of the water. It'll be discounted. It won't play a role nor in this direction nor in the other, and therefore according to chacham, you can go eat that mixture without a concern. Okay, so we learned regarding using vinegar. We have pretty much three different contexts in our daf regarding the use of vinegar. Taking kernels which have exhibited signs of chimutz, they've already begun to split. According to Rav Yosi, chimutz is so powerful, you can take the grains which are on the way to becoming chametz, be shayre in chimutz and vinegar, which will stop the process and prevent the chimutz from taking effect. According to Shmuel, vinegar doesn't have that power, and you can't use the solution. Regarding adding flour to a tafshil, so you have a cooking dish, and you want to add some flour which has some chaymetz. That's okay, as long as you put the kamach and then the chaymetz, because the vinegar, due to its acidic property, together with the heat of the dish which is cooking, it's going to boost that heat. And due to the immense heat and acidity, it's going to prevent the chimutz from taking place. According to the Ish Ayrim, you could even do it in the reverse, by placing chimutz first into the dish, and then afterwards the kemach. We concluded with adding kemach to chardel, adding kemach to charoises. So when it comes to the chardel, according to the chum, you can eat it, because due to its increased sharpness, it's not going to generate an immediate chimutz, despite the fact that there's water there. Because ordinary pears, maybe you can go ahead and boost the water, the chimutz property of the water. But when it comes to chardel, which is sharp, it's going to actually be a non-factor here. And therefore, go ahead and eat that chardel. According to Rav Meir, burn it right away. He holds that whatever you're mixing in with this water, be it from the chardel, be it from the vinegar, it is now treated like made pears with water, and it's presumed to be chametz right away. When it comes to the kemach and the charoses, we have a discussion. So the Chacham say, eat it right away. Hermeia says you have to burn it. That's Rav Huna braid Rav Yehuda's approach. That even in the case of the charoses, despite the fact that it's not so sharp, but the fact that it has vinegar, that's sufficient to allow this thing to be eaten. It's not considered like may pears mixed with water. And therefore, the Chacham, you can eat it. According to Rav Kana, however, unlike the chardel, which is very sharp, charoses doesn't have that quality. And therefore, when you mix the kemach into this charoses that has water plus made pears, what does made pears say? The vinegar. We're concerned about immediate chametz, and therefore go ahead and even according to the chamim, burn this mixture right away. Okay, time for a brief chazar of today's daf. We began with Rav Yosef, who says when you're going to do chalita, scold the grains, make sure that they don't sit next to each other, because one might perch itself into the crack of the other, and the boil might not reach that point, in which case it's going to be moist without the boiling water protecting the chimutz process, and therefore there's a concern about chimutz. We learned about Meperis, according to Rava, Meperis in Machmitzen, according to Abaye, their Machmitz, all agree that moisture which is on the move in transit is not going to be absorbed and therefore pose no concern about chametz. What about soaking the kernels prior to grinding? Brisa says, soyrin cannot be soaked. When it comes to chitin, which are tougher than soyrin, we have a discussion. According to Rabba, a person could be machmer, bal nefesh yachmer, not to soak it. According to Rabba, it's actually a mitzvah. It means a raya from the fact that you need to have matzah shmura. The shmura has to begin from the harvesting, indicating that there's going to be water introduced to the scene already at that moment. Apparently, it's a mitzvah to soak your chitim in order to have highly refined, high-quality matzah. Now, what about if the grain was soaked and they've begun to exhibit signs? They got bloated to the point that they've split, and they're usher. If it hasn't yet split, but it can split, it can't resist the sharp scent coming out of a barrel of wine. According to Mar Ukva, that's a concern. According to Shmuel, it's mutter. What if they've already split? According to Rav Yossi, you can submerge it in chametz due to the high acidic content property of that vinegar. It's going to stunt the chametz process. According to Shmuel, ein loch Rav Yossi, chametz doesn't have that quality, doesn't have the ability to stop the chametz process in place. We learned that there's something called not chametz. It could be eaten on Pesach, but it's not considered matzah shmura and cannot be used for matzah mitzvah. So in addition to not being chametz, you need to have something called shmira, a positive element, which is a positive contribution to the matzah process, and that enables it to be used for matzah mitzvah. We learned that according to Rava, the shmira takes place all the way back, Mishas Ketzira, from time of harvesting. We had a story where there was a boat full of chametz, full of chita, which sunk, and there was chametz there, but it was not discernible. You couldn't tell that it was chametz. Rava says, don't sell it to a guy, rather sell a bit at a time, a little to this Yisrael, a little to that Yisrael, so that it'd be consumed before Pesach. And we concluded the concept of chametz, vinegar. So we have three different guidelines here. Pure chametz, Rava says, is so powerful, you can even immerse those kernels which have split, immerse it in chametz, which will stop the chametz process. Shmuel says you can't do that. What about adding flour to a tafshal where there is chametz, in which case the vinegar, due to its acidic property, will join forces with the heat of that tafshal to prevent chametz from taking place? So that could be done. According to Tanakama, first put the kemach and then the chametz, according to Yishayim. Even the chametz, which was placed earlier and a bit diluted with the tafshal, still retains its acidic properties and qualities and powers, and allowed it to add that flour. We concluded with kemach being added to chardal. According to Chacham, that's okay. You can eat it. According to Rav, you have to burn it. What about kemach and charoisis? According to one shita, we have the same achlekes. According to Rav Kahana, charoisis doesn't have the same power and sharpness as chardal. Therefore, in this case, all agree that it's also because there's some water in there, and may pierce as well. It may pierce with water, create that lethal combination, and we're concerned about immediate chimutz.